It's called Canadian Communications Media Cultural Submission. I'm not going to read it, of course, but I wanted to comment about how I got into this and why I think it may be important as a vehicle for doing several things, explaining my kind of political, economic, analytical process, and also maybe throwing a little light on the dependency relationship culturally which this country has to the United States. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go through the detailed analysis on the second point, but I think it is important to emphasize the historical, the theoretical tools that I used rather than the detailed results. Maybe I'm wrong in that. And in questions, I'll be glad to try to deal with any of the factual aspects that you like. I don't assume that this is more than a kind of a first reconnaissance effort. I marked it working paper, not for publication, because I think I probably want to tear it up and do it over again. But it was a voyage of discovery for me to do it, and it was a shocking voyage. And to explain why, I have to explain that because I lived my first 12 years here and then was taken to the United States and grew up there and got my professional education there and so on, and then came back to here in 1963 to Canada and lived here ever since. I am a Canadian. I consider myself as passionately identified with Canada as any other nationalist in Canada. But I had not previous to this addressed myself analytically to the question of how dependent are we on the United States and how did we get this way? And what I found out shocked even me, and I thought I was fairly cynical about these things already. So it is a first groping exploratory study, and I hope to do better in the future. I've listed a number of questions at the end of it, of this document, which I think need exploration. Many of them are suitable for MA or PhD theses. I hope somebody might sometime, somewhere, get interested in doing something about them. And I don't know the answers to the questions I've asked. And there are a lot of questions I probably didn't include there that I should have. Well, first of all, let me deal with the question of the theoretical tools, because I think you're entitled in a departmental seminar when the faculty are sort of showing and telling to know what kinds of tools they bring to their work. I have taken other tools to my academic work in earlier decades. Now I'm taking the following tools, which I group together as sort of as the political economy of communications tools. The first is an historical materialist method. I'm concerned with the real world. I'm intensely interested in theory, but the theory must be applicable to the real world. I want to use it on the real world. I don't want to sit and contemplate the beauty of the theory in a vacuum. I'm not interested in that kind of theory at all. I hope that it is useful, and I intend to improve it on the basis of use, trying to practice the interaction of theory and practice. It is concerned with the historical reality, the material reality of how people actually are and live, rather than laboratory experiments about them. It's concerned with policies and structure, and that's the historical materialist method. The second element in this kit of tools is the central element of class struggle, the fact that societies are structured according to power relationships. There's a power structure. It is a class structure. And the class structure, especially for a dependent nation, provides us with one of our most important tools for moving toward liberation, because the bourgeoisie, the comprador class, is in a divided role, as I'll indicate later. You just have to notice that Levesque spoke in New York last week to see the divisions within our ruling class and to realize that in Canada this opens the door for all kinds of new development, as well as closing the door on previous kinds of maldevelopment. The third kind of tool that I'm going to be using and always use is some kind of a theory of what makes the engines of capitalism go. It is not enough merely to look at class structures. It is not enough merely to look at undifferentiated historical material record. It's important to analyze what elements in this structure give dynamism to it, make it go. And I think I have something to say on that later. And fourthly, it's important to keep the tool in mind of the role of ideology in connection with consciousness on a mass basis, and the relation of that ideology and consciousness to economic activity. Now, this is to raise the old Marxist bugaboo, if you want to let it get you down, about economic determinism, and I refuse to get hooked on any such bugaboo. As far as I'm concerned, consciousness can control, can direct the material infrastructure as well as be directed by it. The two are interactive. And we ought now, I think, to know enough about this to not fight that useless battle over again.